National.
Stand up!
Friends, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
Sporty greetings to all our Voice of America listeners. This is VOA's Sunny Young in Washington. Welcome to the August 23rd edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. With the Paralympics for disabled athletes officially opening Tuesday in Japan, an inaugural tournament for visually impaired footballers recently kicked off in South Sudan. Sheila Pony reports from the capital, Juba.
A team of visually impaired teens gathered at the Dr. Biaro Sports Complex in the heart of Juba for the first ever blind football tournament. It was the second match organized by the South Sudan Blind Football Association with support from Light for the World, an international disability and development organization. The 12-member South Sudan blind sportsperson squad arrived in their cribs, green and white jersey, ready for the competition. Simon Madol Akol is the coach of the blind sportsperson squad.
You see, people with disabilities are left behind in a lot of things. And one of them is education and sport. So in sport, you see, we were having fun, CAI. People were surprised. They were seeing us playing. They never knew that person who are blind can play football. It was strange. And I believe everything that a person without disability can do, a person with disability can do.
Charles Pasquale Clement is chairperson of the South Sudan Blind Football Association and a midfielder on the team.
So people are asking a lot of ask questions. The ball that you're playing, is it the same with the one the sight people are playing? Or yours is different? And then we said, no, it is the same, but the difference is the ball that we are playing, it has got a bell inside.
The specially designed footballs help visually impaired players move the ball around the pitch and toward the goal. The special footballs, sighted goalkeepers, and guides on the field all help the five-member teams move the ball into scoring positions. Coach Akol explains how the bowlers are able to dribble and pass the ball.
We have a word called boy. This word called boy, we use it when you are attacking, because if you don't say boy, you may hit each other. So you say boy, so the person with the ball can know there's somebody coming to attack. We have guides. You see, goalkeeper also acts as a guide, because goalkeeper is always sighted. And behind the goal, there's also a guide. Behind the other goal, there's also a guide. And goalkeeper on the other side is also a guide. And then the coaches. You see, the field is also divided into three. The side of the defenders, where defenders are in, it is guided by the goalkeeper. And the people who are coming to attack are guided by the guy that's standing behind the goal. So that's how we play.
The match lasted 60 minutes as players dribbled and scored goals, to the delight of fans who came to cheer on their players. South Sudan Blind Football Association Chief Clement, who is also a player, scored 3 goals in the match.
I feel very, very exciting. The most very important thing is to keep your position, the position where you're playing, and not the direction of where the goal is. By keeping that in your mind, you could be able to run with the ball very fast, and then also for you to pass the ball to your friend and to know the direction where your opponent is coming to attack you.
Beyond sportsmanship, the tournament helps train players and coaches and raise awareness among the general population.
We have a plan whereby in nearest time to come, we need to introduce more and then expand to the other states within South Sudan, so that some of our friends, some of our brothers and sisters on the other state, they could be able to join us and enjoy the full fundamental rights in aspect of human life.
With additional funding, the South Sudan Blind Football Association says it hopes to hold 2 more matches in the coming months. For VOA News, I am Sheila Pony in Juba.
Thanks, Sheila. A visually impaired athlete from Malawi is getting ready to run in her second Paralympics. Lamek Messina reports from Zomba, Malawi.
The only Banda's passion for running suffered a setback in 2011 when she was banned from competing in school athletics because of her visual impairment.
The school where I was studying refused to let me take part in sports. It took the interest of some well-wishers who backed me that allowed me to start running.
Thanks to a 2012 sporting event organized by Malawi's Paralympic Association, Banda's running skills were spotted when she won both 400 and 800-meter races. Banda went on to win medals in several local events, and in 2016 became the country's first athlete to represent Malawi at the Paralympic Games in Brazil. But she was disqualified because she left her lane, a mistake she says will not repeat at the Paralympics in Tokyo.
I have learned it is not good to run on the edge of the lane, as you are likely to be off track. This time around, Malawians should expect me to bring a gold medal from Japan.
But the conditions in which she trains are not the best, say some observers. A criticism dismissed by Banda's coach.
We cannot ask more just because this is what we have. So we are just training here. Only that the tactics that we use here, they are the very same tactics that the athlete can use during the competition. So it doesn't matter much to us.
Like Banda, children with disabilities in Malawi often suffer from stigma and discrimination. Although Malawi enacted a Disability Act in 2012 to provide equal opportunities for people with disabilities, activists say the law is not being implemented in some areas.
This has to happen at all levels, not just in government offices, but also even in rural areas where most of the persons with disabilities are living.
Banda is supporting a campaign to ensure children with disabilities, especially girls, aren't left behind.
Taunere has inspired me a lot. She has set a good example that disability is not inability. Her success in the games confirms that.
For now, Banda continues to prepare for the Tokyo Games as she hopes to fulfill her dream of bringing a gold medal home. Lamek Masina for VOA News, Zomba, Malawi.
Thanks, Lamek. How many para powerlifters will represent Team Nigeria at the Paralympics? That's the question Iron Mike Mbonye posed to the president of the Para Powerlifting Federation of Nigeria, Ruel Ishaku.
10 para powerlifters are set to represent Nigeria in Tokyo Paralympic Games.
Powerlifting has won medals for Nigeria in previous games. How prepared are the athletes for the Tokyo Games?
Nigeria is known in powerlifting. We have been ruling the world in powerlifting for the past years. And we are prepared. We are preparing to go and maintain that the standard. Despite the challenges that we face in the team will not deter us from defending our title worldwide. We are going to the Paralympic Games by the grace of God. We'll win gold medals and set world records.
Do you have any injury scare among the athletes?
Actually, some of the athletes came into the camp with some minor injuries. And the minor injuries have been taken care of by the medical team in the camp. And now they are set for the Paralympic Games proper. By the grace of God, we shall conquer.
That's Ruel Ishaku, the president of the Para Powerlifting Federation of Nigeria. And he spoke with Iron Mike Mbonye on the telephone from Jos, Nigeria.
Hi, this is Tatiana McFadden, 17-time Paralympic medalist, 7-time gold medalist, 17-time marathon champion, and you're listening to The Sunny Side of Sports on Voice of America.
On the next Straight Talk Africa, we talk about reparations and redress. As Namibia negotiates with Germany on compensation for colonial-era genocide, we ask, how much is enough to make amends for atrocities and other sins of the past? Reparations, remorse, and redress. On the next Straight Talk Africa, this Wednesday at 18:30 UTC.
Thanks, Haiti. That's Haiti Adams, the host of our Straight Talk Africa program. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to The Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. Samson Omale joins us now with a report on the AfroBasket tournament in Rwanda and the World Athletics Under-20 Championship in Kenya.
We begin with the World Athletics Under-20 Championships in Nairobi, which ended on Sunday. The championships recorded 4 World Under-20 records, 15 championships records, 11 area Under-20 records, 68 national Under-20 records, and 10 national senior records. The final day of the championships saw Jamaican women and the South African men broke the Under-20 records in the 4x100 meters relays. The home team, Kenya, topped the medal table with 8 gold, 1 silver, and 7 bronze medals, ahead of Finland with 4 gold, 1 silver. Nigeria came third with 4 gold and 3 bronze medals, while Ethiopia was fourth with 3 gold, 7 silver, and 2 bronze medals. In other fascinating statistics from the World Under-20 Championships shows that from more than 100 countries that competed in Nairobi, 18 teams won gold medals, 35 won medals, and 63 had top 8 finishes. Nigerian athletics reporter Deji Ogembo, who is in Nairobi, tells me the championship was highly successful.
Well, the championships has been massive for World Athletics. It was on the verge of being cancelled because of the COVID pandemic. Nairobi was given the hosting rights in 2018 after they successfully hosted the World Youth Championships in 2018. They've done a decent job, to be honest. In terms of quality of participation, a bit sad. Some of the top countries, like the United States, pulled out due to COVID concerns, same as Great Britain. Too, again, Germany also not participating, and Australia, but it hasn't taken much gloss out of the competition itself.
All is now set for the 30th edition of the FIBA AfroBasket 2021 Championship that is scheduled to take place in Kigali Arena in Rwanda. The AfroBasket tournament will get underway on Tuesday, August 24th, with 16 teams competing. Reigning African champions and second-ranked side on the continent, Tunisia heads to the tournament as one of the favorites. But as head coach of the Tunisian basketball team, Dirk Boerman, explains, they are not leaving anything to chance.
So I think we are one of the teams that has a chance, but a lot of things have to go right. We have to stay healthy. We have to play well in the big games, make big shots, make big plays. In a 10-day tournament, anything can happen.
Another team heading to Kigali is Kenya. The East African country is making a return to the AfroBasket after a 28-year absence. I am Samson Omale in Abuja, Nigeria.
My name is Elizabeth Okumu, assistant captain and player, University of Nairobi Dynamite basketball team, and currently a player of Lioness, the Kenya national team. You're listening to The Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America.
Now let's go to Ghana's capital, Accra, where Prince Nesta has some man-in-the-street reaction to the recent draw for the Africa Cup of Nations football tournament. Sporty greetings, Prince!
Sporty greetings to you too, Sonny.
The Black Stars of Ghana have been drawn in Group C for the African Cup of Nations, scheduled to be played in Cameroon from January 9th to February 6th, 2022. The 2015 AFCON finalists have been paired with familiar foes, including the Atlas Lions of Morocco, Comoros, and the Panthers of Gabon. I took to the streets of Accra, Ghana, just to find out the locals' opinion in regards to the groups and their chances of winning the whole tournament.
With regards to our group, I think it's quite an easy one, if you ask me. The chance of us qualifying to the next stage is quite high, looking at the people we are drawn against. But hey, it's 2021, football has changed, so anything can happen. I mean, we should brace ourselves for surprises, but on paper, technically, I think we stand a chance against these teams.
I think we stand a chance because of Commodores and Gabon. Gabon has Aubameyang though, but I mean, we still have a chance. I mean, it's 11 players that are playing, so Aubameyang, only Aubameyang can do the thing. But the point is, I feel Ghana has a chance of qualifying to the next stage, you know. But afterwards, I don't know, I can't be too sure. You know how we play at some point, sometimes we lose our focus. So I'm just hoping, you know, that we can go far. But with the kind of teams that we're playing against, I think we stand a chance of going through. We could either be first or second. Yeah, I mean, with the form that, the kind of players that Morocco has, I think they can come out first, and then we will follow back. I mean, Commodores can score Ghana, Gabon, highly unlikely. But, you know, I'm just hoping.
Yeah, my opinion is we wish Ghana all the best this time around so that we can even win the cup. It has been long for we to even have this cup, at least our parent goal, at least so that we can even win this cup for this time around. Our players can play good football and they can win it for us because it has been long, more than 20 years now.
What team do you think might trouble the boys?
Morocco will be very tough for us. Morocco will be very tough for us because they have a quality players. And we too have the same quality players, but if you compare, Morocco, they are ahead of us in terms of the good players. And so we wish them the best. We wish them the best.
Obviously, as you can see, we are not well prepared. If you see what's going on in our team, we don't have a strong team. We don't have a strong team to compete with the likes of Nigeria, Cameroon, Algeria. Yeah, yeah. So that's what I said. We will do it. Obviously, we'll go further. But to bring the ultimate, it's really going to be tough. Serious.
You have to take care of the players and know the players that you are going to play with. And they should stop doing the bias and get the right players to play the match. That's my opinion. I think Morocco will be the challenge for us, but still we will qualify. Still we will beat them down. We have to stop the bias and know the right players for the game. See, because you can see they can just put a player. You know that this player is not able to be, he can't able to play for Ghana. But because of maybe the person's manager is part of the Blasters management, so they put him. Which is not, it's not good, it's not fair. Can't do that in Europe. They don't do that in Europe. In Europe, they always try the small boys, they always give them chance. That's why every day the Europe are going far more than that.
I'll be supporting Nigeria and I wish them good luck.
It's a very tough group, but not all that tough as well. But Ghana needs to, I mean, be on their toes and, I mean, expect good results after each match. And Ghanaians, we are not scared at all. I'm a Ghanaian as well, and I believe in my people. So we hope for the best. And surely Ghana will lift up the cup, the trophy. And surely they will top up the group.
In this group, we have Gabon, we have Morocco, Comoros. Which team do you think might give them trouble a little bit?
Trouble? That's the Moroccans. Yeah, because Moroccans, they are very good. When it comes to the field of play, they are good, tactically good, and mentally good as well. As compared to the Ghanaians. The Ghanaians too are tactically good and, I mean, but we have the upper hand. We have the upper hand because this time we hope Ghanaians will make it to the top.
What will it take for them to win the whole thing?
I don't know about the telepathy in the team. I don't know how long these players have played together. That is a very big factor. And I don't know who our marksman is as we speak in the Ghanaian team because these are quite new faces and new names in the whole selection. But I think we need that telepathy to be able to scale through, you know, all the way to the final. But let's hope for something good, something better.
What do you think it will take for the boys to win the whole thing?
That is what I think we don't have, you know, the collective spirit as a team, you know. That's what we don't have. That's what Italy used to win the European League, yeah. But we don't have that. If we can have that, we can win. but I doubt that we'll have that anyway.
Wish them all the very best. You know, they should go and win for us. Yeah.
Hard work. They don't have to joke. They have to play hard. Uh-huh. And at least they have a good teamwork. Teamwork too is among, at least they should have teamwork. This the Ghanaian team, they don't play in the same distinct clubs. Everyone have his own club that is playing. So if they come together like this, at least everyone will bring his talents. At least so that they will help each other so that they can win it.
I'm a Ghanaian, obviously, but we Ghanaians going for the ultimate, I don't think it's possible. Obviously, we'll go further, we'll do well. Yeah, and let's say semi-finals. But bringing the ultimate, no, I doubt, yeah.
Do you think Ghana can win it?
We're very glad to hear that. We just pray so. Ghana can win, we just pray so.
Okay, the chances depends on the coach and the players as well. Yeah, because we have confidence in our players, our foreign base, and both foreign and local. The chances are, I mean, they are very slight. Yeah, slight chances. We will make up to lift the trophy. Yeah.
What message do you have for the boys?
Okay, so we just want to tell them that we're supporting them, spirit, body, soul. We're behind them, and they should make us proud. As to whether we're going to win it, I'm still sitting on the fence on that, but we're behind them, solidly behind them. It's all the best.
They have to work hard. Only if they work hard, they can win. Oh, it will not be easy for them, but by determination and hard work, they'll win.
To the boys, they're going to be going out there. What would you like to tell them?
Yeah, obviously, we are going to give our maximum support to them. Yeah, we'll pray for them that they should go and do well. That's all I can say. They should go and do better. It's not going to be easy. It's not going to be easy. If you look at our current team, it's not going to be easy to bring the ultimate.
The majority of sentiments from the street show grounds of optimism among the Blackstars supporters, who are consistently calling upon their team to pull up their socks and bring home the coveted trophy with the last one in 1982. Reporting for the Sunny Side of Sports, I'm Prince Nesta in Accra.
Thanks, Prince. Let's stay in Accra now, where Yawafusu Larbi reports Ghana's all-time leading goal scorer participated in the recent Africa Cup of Nations draw ceremony. Sporty greetings, Yao.
Sporty greetings, Sunny. Asamoah has been Ghana's outright star for the past 15 years.
Willy Montari through to Jan, who's onside. It's Asamoah Jan, it's 2-1 Ghana!
He has not made his name with just skill, creativity and goals, but with his demeanour both on and off the field. Jan is a people's person. His larger-than-life persona has earned him many admirers. Scoring 8 goals in 7 editions of the Africa Cup of Nations, making 3 semi-finals and finishing twice as runner-up, Jan is seen by many as one of Africa's greats, including members of the Confederation of African Football.
Former Black Star striker, one of the star players of the 2010 FIFA World Cup for Ghana, Asamoah Jan.
His recognition earned him the honor to man pots A and B at the Africa Cup of Nations draw alongside 2 of Africa's prolific strikers, Samuel Eto'o-Fils and Didier Drogba. The feeling for Jan is great.
It's not easy to be at this stage, you know, to be part of this African Cup draw. You know, I feel honored, you know, I count myself one of the lucky guys out there. You know, special thanks to CAF for the recognition.
Jan says it will certainly not be the end to reliving some of his greatest moments in African football as an ambassador. He says he's open to serve the continent anytime he's called upon.
When you talk about me, I never plan about doing anything. You know, sometimes I believe in destiny. You know, when something is bound to happen, it happens. You know, in my life, I never been a captain since I was a kid. You know, I got to a time I became the Black Stars captain. Anytime CAF feels like he wants to use me for an ambassadorial job, why not? Because I've paid my dues. You know, so definitely the health-wise is the most important thing. You know, so I'm ready for anything.
Asamoah Jan divides opinions amongst football fans. He is hero for some and villain for many, even in his home country, largely due to the 2010 World Cup. But he is unperturbed. His inner fulfillment, he says, remains his top priority.
You know, it makes me strong. You know, there are politics. People want to just bring you down. People just fabricate lies just to tarnish your image. There are a lot of things happening when you are up there. I mean, life, I don't think it's good for everybody to like you, you know, because when everybody likes you, you do the wrong things, thinking it's the right thing, you know. So it's good to have a balanced thing. People might hate you, people might like you, and it keeps you going for you to prove your critics wrong, and that is what makes you keep going. So I like it.
The striker has played at every level in his career. The World Cup, the Olympics, the AFCON, major European leagues including Sunderland in the Premier League, the Chinese Super League, and the UAE. The Baby Jets. He is driven and focused. For the Sunny Side of Sports, this is Yao Fusilabi in Accra.
I'm Manny Pacquiao, the fighter from the Philippines.
Filipino boxing star Manny Pacquiao is hinting at retirement after losing to a Cuban opponent over the weekend. Joining us now with more details is VOA's Gwen Uden. Sporty greetings, Gwen.
Sporty greetings, Sonny. Manny Pac-Man Pacquiao is the only boxer in history to hold world titles in 8 different divisions. But on Saturday, he failed to reclaim the welterweight title after he suffered a unanimous point decision defeat to Cuban Yordanis Ugas. And after the final bell, Pacquiao admitted his best wasn't good enough.
Tonight, no excuses. I wanted to fight for the title in the ring, and tonight the champion is named Ugas. I've done a lot for boxing, and boxing has done a lot for me. I look forward to spending time with my family and thinking about my future in boxing.
Saturday was Pacquiao's first fight after a more than 2-year absence from the ring, the longest layoff of his career. He entered T-Mobile Arena in Las Vegas as the clear favorite and showcased his trademark speed and combinations in the early rounds. But as the fight went on, the southpaw struggled to land his punches and was dominated in the second half. Ultimately, Pacquiao said cramps in his legs hindered him throughout the fight, but made no excuses for his defeat.
It's like my 2 legs is tight and hurting me in second round until 12th round. So, but I'm not making excuses. That's the reason why I cannot move, and I just staying and countering him of his punches. That's what happened. So that's boxing.
Pacquiao was initially slated to fight the current IBF and WBC welterweight champion Errol Spence Jr., but a left eye retinal tear forced the American to withdraw just 12 days before the fight. Enter Yordanis Ugas, who agreed to step in on short notice for the biggest fight of his career. Ugas, who won Olympic bronze for Cuba in 2008, used his long reach to keep the former champion at arm's length, and his counterpunches were enough for Ugas to retain the welterweight title. And after the fight, the 35-year-old cited his victory to longevity in the sport. Ugas says, I've been doing this since I was 6 years old. I won all kinds of tournaments. I knew deep down inside he wasn't going to beat me tonight. I felt that coming into the fight, and that's what happened. Ugas has now won 4 consecutive bouts since March 2019. Meanwhile, Pacquiao's defeat has called into question whether or not he has reached the end of his professional career. And on Saturday, the 42-year-old hinted that his retirement could be on the horizon.
In the future, you may not see Manny Pacquiao again to fight in the ring. I don't know, but for how many decades, I'm so happy with what I have done in boxing. I contribute a record in boxing also, and to make boxing in the top, especially bring honor to my country, the Filipino people. And I'm so proud to be a Filipino, and thankful to all the fans all over the world.
Pacquiao has made plans to continue fighting in the political ring. Since 2016, he served as a senator in the Philippines and is widely expected to enter the country's presidential race ahead of next year's elections. An official announcement is scheduled for next month. In the meantime, if Pacquiao indeed hangs up his boxing gloves, he will cap off a 26-year career with a record of 62 victories and 8 losses, with 39 wins via knockout. And that is all from me, Sonny. Back over to you.
Thanks, Gwen. That's my VOA colleague, Gwen Uten. And that wraps up the August 23rd edition of the show. Thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA's Sonny Young in Washington. And that's the sunny side of sports.